This is Theology Refresh with David Mathis, and we're here with Eric Tonnes today talking about the Christian and sport. Eric is a professor at Biola, also pastor of Grace Evangelical Free Church in La Mirada, California. Eric, thank you for joining us here.
David, it's good to be with you.
We're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Evangelical Theological Society, and Eric agreed to talk to us about this important subject. He has written on it. The chapter you've written on the Christian and sport is called
Created to Play, A Christian View of Sport.
Very good. So when we mention that topic of the Christian and sport, where does your mind go? Where would you have us think about that initially?
For me, my mind goes to football fields when I was a little kid and playing basketball at the park, and the helpfulness of that in my life as a young Christian who didn't have very much discipleship influence, but didn't realize it at the time, but was being taught about the Christian life and what it meant to be part of something bigger than myself, and to learn to be unselfish, to have an incubator of character development on a sporting field where you have an opportunity to cheat and or to be honest, to win graciously or not, or to display character. Even still today, even though I'm an old man now, I'll get out on a basketball court and see aspects of my character I thought I had been more sanctified in than I am, and suddenly I see I have a lot more to work on. There's something about sport that can bring out the best and worst of us and give us a glimpse of what's going on in our hearts that we normally wouldn't see in life. And so that sanctifying helpfulness of it is where my mind immediately goes.
A couple of distinct categories are within this realm are play and competition.
Right.
Let's first talk play. What is the place and role of play for the Christian?
A classic book on this is by Jürgen Moltmann called A Theology of Play, and it's just an excellent treatment of it. And the first sentence, he wrote it in the late 60s, the first sentence in the book is, how can a Christian play when people are dying in Vietnam every day? We have a view of the world as Christians that's realistic and recognizes how bad things are. So what's this place for spontaneous, creative, non-utilitarian, fun play when things are serious and people are dying and they need Christ? Well, play is grounded for a believer in the confidence that God is on his throne, that he is all-powerful, he is sovereign, and he's working out his very good plan every day and will one day bring it to culmination. Karl Barth said, in light of God's sovereignty and power, everything we do should be viewed as children at play. And so we're talking about play in a sport context, but I think there should be a playfulness in the Christian life in general. To be a Christian means to take God very seriously, but not ourselves. And so I think a playfulness that then obviously has got to be part of healthy sport is got to be something a Christian understands, appreciates, and gets good at.
Would you want to speak to the extremes? I can imagine some who would have no play at all in their life, others who would be consumed in play. Can you speak to the balance or how to get the healthy Christian way at it?
Right. A lot of my greatest heroes in the Christian faith seem to lack an appreciation for playfulness. You read the Puritans and other heroes I have, and they seem to have sometimes a very little appreciation for a playfulness or play. And so there can either be no place in the Christian life for play, or it becomes idolatrous and we live to play. Mm. We have a frivolous life. And so to be very serious about God and very serious about what he's doing in this world and our role in that, but humility about ourselves and a sense of humor about ourselves that goes along with play, that is really the most healthy way to live.
For pastors who want to think about their own play, talk about play and its proper Christian place in the Christian life, any particular text that you would take them to and say, here's a helpful pointer or directive in that?
I think the best biblical picture of play is creation itself. You get this idea of the extravagance of God in creation as he makes billions of daisies and makes sea creatures that he makes simply to play with. And there is a playfulness in creation in its extravagance that is well beyond necessary intelligent design, but actually indicates a real playfulness. So there are these pictures of God in his playfulness of creation in Job and throughout the Bible that I think need to ground our view of a playfulness in general in life. The images of the eschaton, of when everything is made right, has children playing next to serpents' dens, free of fear, of animals being released and leaping playfully. And so this sense of freedom that the reconciliation of all things brings at the end of it all brings a playfulness to creation itself and for the redeemed that leads to a singing and a dancing and a leaping and all things that aren't utilitarian. They don't have a good product. They're just exuberant celebration. Yeah. And so worship should have a sanctified playfulness to it, where we feel a sense of freedom and a sense of spontaneity and creativity. And even at times, just a delight that isn't calculated.
Hmm. That's good. And think of the Texan Zechariah, the prophet, about the children playing in
yes,
the streets.
Right, right.
So do we talk about play?
Yeah.
But now there's this other aspect of competition.
Right.
And now that's a different reality to think through as a Christian. How do you process this reality of competition, competitive sports?
Yeah, people usually think of competition and play as at odds with one another. And I think the most healthy sport has to have a good combination of those two. Competition requires a commitment to the game. You really care about the outcome. And I think the more you're committed to the game and to the outcome of what you're playing, the more playful it can be. If you don't really care about the outcome, well, the playfulness is diminished. And so so you're playing in the middle of a game of tennis and you really care about the outcome. And the ball gets stuck on the top of the net for a second, and you don't know which side it's going to fall on. And then it falls on the other. And you both laugh, and there's a fun playfulness to that. But that's connected to the fact that you really cared which side it fell
that's
on.
Right.
Now, if competition gets so that you lose any playfulness, it's destructive. It's not joyful. Hmm. And if play doesn't have any commitment to it, it ends up not being very playful. That's why we actually despise the spoil sport more than the cheat, because at least the cheat's still respecting the game, but the spoil sport doesn't really care about the game, isn't committed to it, where he's respecting the rules. And so somebody who just takes their ball and does whatever they want destroys the game because they're not committed enough to it, at least even to cheat. And so I think competition and play actually enhance one another when it's healthy.
So you would want to say for Christians who think through this that competition is not inherently sinful.
Oh,
now,
no.
Our sin can take it and make it sinful, but it's not inherently sinful.
No, I think good competition from a Christian viewpoint should be grounded in the creation mandate to rule over and subdue, be fruitful and multiply, and basically to bring your personhood to bear in a way that makes a difference. And so, obviously, that doesn't necessarily mean a football game, but there is something about subduing in a competitive context that I think is a pre-fall command that calls us to really make our presence felt in the world. And I think a sporting competition environment enables us to demonstrate that sort of thing. And obviously not in a way that's as serious as people make it out to be, but that can actually be a demonstration of fulfilling the creation mandate to be fruitful and multiply and rule over and subdue in this world.
So for the Christian, there's a fallen way to win, fallen way to lose. Yeah. There's a redeemed way to win and a redeemed way
right.
to lose.
Yeah.
Anything
right.
more you'd say about what that may look like?
There can be a fine line, but within a fine line between just a carnal expression of wanting to win where you're pridefully exalting yourself and the healthy way where you really are obeying God really in exercising the physical abilities he's given you, the mental abilities he's given you in the context of sport so that he's honored by that. So you keep it in perspective. You care about it, but you keep it in perspective. People like to say, oh, come on, it's only a game. Well, for Christians, nothing's only a game. Eating and drinking for us has the capability of giving glory to God.
Right.
And so certainly something we will devote a lot of time to, a sport that we take up, needs to be seen as an opportunity to worship God, to glorify God with him, with that sport. So nothing is dismissed as, oh, merely a game. For Christians, nothing is merely anything. It's all capable of honoring God.
That's good. Anything in particular you'd want to say to a pastor or Christian leader as they think about themselves, not only as teachers, but models of appropriate levels of play and how to win and lose? Any exhortations to leaders?
Well, I do think it's important to strike that balance between appreciating sport for what it's capable of doing as far as an ability to really help us in our sanctification and build community. I've been amazed at the ability for sport to break down walls with people. A pastor who gets out and plays with his people or with his children is an excellent model of someone who has things in perspective, who's able to be serious about God, but playful with kids and with his congregants, and demonstrate even a humility in that there isn't this wall, this barrier between the pastor and the people, that you can actually go out and play a game of softball. And you don't have to be good to do that. Actually, it can be helpful if you're not, to really break down those walls faster. But I'll get together with a bunch of men and play a game of flag football. And in 10 minutes, we're hugging each other and celebrating together. In normal life, that would have taken years to get to that point. And so it really can facilitate relationship and community and be a great context for sanctification. But it's so easy for that to become idolatrous and far more important in as far as the result than it really is. And so to help our people by modeling and teaching, like everything, to keep it in a healthy, God-honoring perspective where we value it, but we don't turn it into an idol.
Eric, thank you for joining us. Would you close our little podcast here with a prayer for those listening?
I'd be happy to. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you created us in this world, and even in creation we can see a playfulness as you were so extravagant in what you made for us to enjoy. And Lord, we pray that you would be taking delight in our enjoyment of your creation, and we thank you for bodies that love to run around and express our personhood in this world with sport. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us in a culture that just binges on one extreme or the other to be wise and honoring to you and the way we play and the way we compete. And Lord, we pray that you would help us in this. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.